So we're continuing chapter 48, and Tanya, this is also has to do with this time of the year, which is before Rosh Hashanah. So we'll talk about the concepts again in chapter 48, a little review, and then we'll go further, and we'll also connect it to Rosh Hashanah. Chapter 48, the Alter Rebbe is continuing the general theme that we have been discussing the last few chapters. And the general theme is Hashem's goodness that Hashem does for us. So we were talking about the method of arriving at an appreciation for the greatness and all the good things that Hashem does for us. And if you remember, we spoke about the mashal, the parable of a king who gets out of his palace and he goes to the garbage dump and he takes a person who is lying there in the dump, in the dirt and in the filth, and he brings this guy back to his palace and he dresses him and he hugs him and he takes him and puts him in his special room, in his throne room. And Hashem does that for us because we were saying that the idea is that Hashem elevates us and brings us and so on. So we should have reciprocal feelings. If Hashem loves us so much, it's only menschlichkeit that is common decency. It's only common decency that we should be able to reciprocate. And that's what we spoke about in the last few chapters. And now we're talking in this chapter to explain it a little deeper, to explain it a little in mystical terms. What does it mean Hashem is so great? It's understandable even to an ordinary person. You say God, the creator of the universe, is like a king, and you are like an ordinary human being, and here the king is devoting his efforts, his energies to you. So it's understandable. You don't have to be a great mystic. Everybody believes in God, everybody believes in creator, even the simple person. And we all know how limited we are as humans. And the Alter Rebbe made the point in saying that the worse off you think you are, the greater it actually makes your appreciation for Hashem. In other words, if a person thinks that they're full of issues and blemishes and all kinds of bad stuff and all kinds of negative stuff, and Hashem is still giving us life and still elevating, so it makes it even more. So this was in a contrast to the previous methods that the Alter Rebbe had been explaining to us about how to reach Avas Hashem, a love for Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and a fear and awe of Hashem. And all those methods were based on understanding and studying and contemplation. And this is it. The Alter Rebbe says, this is simple. Just think that you're low. And when you think that you're low, you'll immediately reach an incredible appreciation and love for Hashem, for the Creator. So everybody understands this. But now we're explaining in this chapter 48 in a mystical level, a deeper level, explaining the behind the story of this mashal, of this parable. Alter Rebbe began to say that there is the energy that comes from Hashem is compared to or light, and it's compared to shefa, a flow. So last time we spoke about the difference between Or and Shefa, light that emanates, that comes from a light source, versus Shefa, a flow. And we explained this, a big general concept in Hasidic thought, the idea that light is something that comes automatically. It is, and Shefa, a flow, is something that requires effort and energy in order to make that happen. We talked about the concept of a teacher giving something to a student, a parent giving something to a child. And Hashem has the qualities of creation in both of these ways. So let's just review again the beginning of the chapter, and we'll connect it back, as I said, to Rosh Hashanah and what happens on the day of Rosh Hashanah. So contemplating the greatness of the Blessed Ein Sof, a thinking person will come to the realization, I'm reading from the text here, the translation in chapter 48, that there is a light and a vitality and energy that comes from the Creator. And this energy is not limited by the capacity of the recipient. That means it's not according to us. And we're explaining here that Hashem's energy, in fact, is Or Ein Sof. That's the language, the terminology that we use to describe Hashem's energy, Or Ein Sof. Or Ein Sof means, Or means a light that is Ein Sof, that is infinite, an infinite light. Why is it called infinite light, Or light? We understand in our physical experience with light, light is not infinite. The word infinite, the Alter Rebbe is about to explain to us, means something that has absolutely no relevance, no connection, no follow-up from something else. It's completely separate. Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us that when you take numbers, so the number one and the number a million, billion, trillion, you know, this word Google, whatever that is, the biggest number you could imagine. Just imagine a number and imagine one number bigger than that. So it's still relative to the first number. It's made up of units. When we say mathematical infinity, all we're talking about is a problem on our end that we can't count, because there are so many individual units that we cannot count. We don't even have a number to describe how many individual units there are. But the fact is that biggest number is made up still of individual units. So it's not really infinite. It's made up of discrete separate units, 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 put together, until we don't have the ability, because our brains are too small, to be able to count. But it's still not infinite. The Alter Rebbe is explaining to us that true infinity means that even the first beginning is infinite. Even the number one is not relative to the rest of it. This is something the Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us that we don't have in our human experience. There is nothing in our human experience that has the actual capacity of true infinity. Maybe you can think of emotion, but there's nothing that is physical that you can see a part of it that can then be infinite. Because if you could see a part of it, it's simply very, very large. The ocean does not have infinite number of drops of water. There is a certain number of drops of water. The proof that the amount of water that's in the ocean is discrete, it's a certain amount, it's limited. Well, the proof is very simple. There's places where there is no ocean. If there would be a true infinity in the drops of water in the ocean or in the world, then it would be everywhere. The Alter Rebbe explains to us that we have to somehow make the effort of and imagine this concept of infinity. That's Or Ein Sof. That's Hashem's energy. Hashem's energy doesn't just come down to the world and stay here. Hashem's energy is truly infinite. What that means is there is no place where it isn't. Not in the world, not in creation, not out of the world. True, true infinity. And again, we don't have anything in our sense of reality that we can compare this to. We can only talk about it and imagine it, and then take the biggest and greatest and most least limited thing and then move it up many, many notches and say, well, that's infinity. So like numbers, drops of water in the sea, grains of sand on the beach. Infinite. There isn't infinite grains of sand. There's a certain finite number of grains of sand. We just don't know what that number is, because it's too many for us to count. The proof, again, that the number of grains of sand are finite is that there are places where there is no grains of sand. So clearly the grains of sand stop. But just because there's a lot of individual units, it still doesn't mean infinite. Or Ein Sof, which is infinite, means it doesn't have any discreteness to it, not 1 plus 1 plus 1, till a Google, whatever number you could imagine. There's no such thing. It's truly Or Ein Sof. Now, that's Hashem's energy. So Hashem is true. So when we say a great king is in his palace, and this great king goes out of his palace and takes us limited people, and the way we contrast the king to the limited person, we say the king is wearing fancy clothing in his palace. This guy is sitting in the garbage dump. He's sitting literally in the sewer. So look at the difference. Look at the huge, huge gap between these two individuals. The king leaves his palace, the great king, and goes to the sewer and takes the bum who is filthy, who is, you know, hasn't had a shower and a shave in years, and takes this guy and brings him and elevates him and cleans him up. And it's a mashal, it's a parable. We don't have any other language to explain to us in simple terms, in human terms, the difference, the distance between the infinity of Hashem and the finiteness, the puniness, the tininess, the smallness of ourselves. So it's a mashal. That's what a parable is. And what we're saying here is that Hashem's Or Ein Sof is true infinity, yet Hashem leaves his infinity, creates a finite existence, a finite world, and in that finite world puts creatures, us, and we as creatures are not even the best creatures. The better creatures are the angels. The angels are more perfect than we are in the sense of sticking to the mission, in the sense of loyalty to the king. We have a Yetzirah. Hashem gave us the Yetzirah. Hashem gave us this evil inclination and made us humans have forgetfulness and lack of awareness and lack of gratitude and all kinds of selfishness, self-centeredness, our ego in general, even if it's not selfish and self-centered, just the need to have your life and not to die requires you to think about yourself and about the angels. By definition, something that is impermanent and must constantly be working to maintain its existence, by definition has to be self-centered, has to think about itself. A grain of sand doesn't have to think about itself. And Malach, an angel, doesn't have to think about itself. It will continue to exist even if it totally ignores it. If we ignore ourselves, we're going to die. We're not going to forget to eat and forget to drink. Famous story that the Alter Rebbe, first Lubavitcher Rebbe, author of the Tanya, was studying with the son of the Maggid of Mizrich. Maggid of Mizrich was the successor, Rabbi Dov Ber of Mizrich, was the successor to the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus. And the Alter Rebbe was studying with the son of the Maggid of Mizrich, the son of Rabbi Dov Ber. His name was Rabbi Avram, and they used to call him Rabbi Avram, the Malach, the angel. And the Alter Rebbe was studying a mystical concept, something about the greatness of Hashem. And he was getting so excited that the Maggid, rather, was getting, the son of the Maggid was getting so excited that he was about to leave physical existence, about to, you know, just die, leave the existence. In other words, forgot about himself to the extent that he was pure soul, pure energy. The Alter Rebbe took a bagel, a piece of bread that was there, bagel, that's how the story goes, with butter that happened to be there, and shoved it into his mouth. And by having the bagel shoved into his mouth, he came and he reminded himself that he's a physical and he has to stay in this world. That's the way the story is told. The Rebbe has explanation why just a bagel, why not what has butter also, but this is the idea. The idea is that we need ego in order to take care of ourselves. A baby, for example, if a baby would only be worried about his mother, the baby would never cry in the middle of the night, and the baby would unfortunately have a lot of serious trouble without eating. So we need ego. We have to manage the ego. So Hashem makes us limited. Hashem leaves his unlimited state and creates the world. And the Alter Rebbe, therefore, in this chapter is explaining to us how grateful we should be that this great king, who is unlimited, is creating us and dealing with us and focused on us and so on. First we have to explain more. This is a big overview of the chapter. Al-Rebbe basically in this chapter is going to explain to us the difference between the two levels of energy called Sovev energy and Memale energy. The two levels of energy. Al-Rebbe is going to explain to us that when Hashem creates the world, there is...
Rabbi, I apologize. Where are those terms in the book? I'm just trying to spell them. Those two levels of energy.
The terms in the book, I have to scroll down a little bit.
Okay.
Because this first part we did speak about last time. So now we're going to scroll down a little bit. Everything I was just telling you, proportion, it stands for a certain ratio. In regards to a thing that transcends finitude, there is no number, billion and a trillion. This is what I was telling you about before, a moment ago. Now the Alter Rebbe says, here. So the Alter Rebbe says, so indeed is the utterly insignificant quality of this minute illumination after the contraction, the tzimtzum, the contraction of the energy, that when compared with the quality of the hidden and concealed light, that it is an infinite order, it encompasses from above. And this is Sovev Kol Alman. You see that? Sovev Kol Alman. So this higher level of energy is called the Sovev energy. And it's a poetic way, because we don't have words, again, to describe this phenomenon that's not in our experience. We have no experience with something that's infinite. So the only thing...
I apologize. Sovev. I found it.
Sovev.
Yeah. Sovev Kol Admin. So that, what kind of energy is this?
So Sovev Kol Almin is words. They're words. It's poetic. It's poetry. So it's a analogy. It's a metaphor. But what does it mean? Literally, Sovev means it surrounds. The word Sovev is to surround. In Hebrew, there is a dreidel that we play with on Hanukkah. It's called a sivivon. Why is it called a sivivon? Because it spins around and around and around. It's just a top, a spinning top. So the word sovev means to spin or to surround something. Sovev kol almin, it's Aramaic. It's a mixture of Hebrew and Aramaic. Sovev is Hebrew. Kol almin is Aramaic. So sovev, it surrounds. Kol almin, all the worlds. All the worlds. Now, in the Zohar, it's a term from the Zohar. So in the Zohar, whenever we talk about a stage of energy, it's called a world. It's not the world. When we talk about the world, we have to not get hung up on the language and just think a little more poetically. So Sovev Kol Almin means the energy that surrounds, that doesn't enter into all the different stages of the created reality. Hashem created angels, spiritual levels, physical levels. There is energy that is surrounding. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us, what does it mean to surround? What is, if you're using poetry, so the words still have to have a relationship to their ordinary meaning. You know, you say, you use a poetic term, a metaphorical term, but it still has a relationship to the language, otherwise you wouldn't use that term. So why does the Zohar use this word, Sovev Kol Almin, to surround? The meaning, the Alter Rebbe says, and now I'm reading again from the text, is not that it encircles from above, God forbid, because that would imply that it is physical. It's not physical. The energy isn't physical. So what if it doesn't surround from above, and it's not physical, then why are we calling it surrounding? What does it mean? The Alter Rebbe says the meaning is that it encircles and encompasses from above, insofar as the revelation of its influence is concerned. That means it doesn't have as direct an effect on the stage that it is a control as controlling, which is maybe a better way of saying it. It doesn't have as controlling an effect as the level of energy that does enter into that world. Now, the Rebbe is going to explain to us soon, we'll go a little further, a mashal, a parable for us to be able to understand. What does it mean? Something that is there, but it doesn't permeate, it doesn't directly influence. So again, Chassidus has various mishalim, various parables to explain these spiritual ideas that, again, we have no ability as humans, as finite creatures. We have simply no ability to truly, truly understand it until the time when Mashiach comes, and Hashem is then going to expand our experience, our experiential capacity. And we will be able to understand it when Mashiach comes. Even the neshamas, even the souls that are right now in Gan Eden, that the Rebbe is soon going to tell us, cannot understand truly what infinite means. What does infinity, what does Hashem's infinity actually mean? When Mashiach comes, the entire world, including the neshamas, are going to have new elements of power, and we will then be able to feel infinity as we, because we ourselves will be recognizing our own infinity. Again, the only way for us to ever understand something is to look inside ourselves and to say, I understand you're going through some pain because I also had a pain. You know, I also had this thing happen, so I understand your pain. It might not be the same pain. You, God forbid, you might have a loss of life, and I might have had a stub of my toe, but I understand it's pain. Pain is pain. It makes you feel bad. I was one time hungry. Politics, you know, you must have seen the political stuff. I one time had a problem, so I understand your problem where you lost your life and you lost. But at least it's, you understand a little bit. So when Hashem expands our own capacity, we will then be able to understand when Mashiach comes, the idea of true infinity. But we do not have that ability today. We are stuck in being finite. Having said that, we have Nevi'im, we have prophets, and everything that we know is given to us by our Nevi'im, by our prophets. What does it mean, a Navi, a prophet? A Navi is an individual, man or woman, who has a message from Hashem. So Hashem told Adam and Chava, the first human beings, Hashem told them exactly how he created the world. Hashem taught it to them. They taught it to their children, eventually to Avram, and eventually to Yaakov, and eventually to, it was written down in the Zohar, and it passed from teacher to student, and eventually it's written down. And that's what we have. So we have information that even though we don't understand it, we accept it. We accept it because that's been given to us. And we try then to understand it to the best of our ability. That's another separate mitzvah in the Torah, to try to ourselves expand our mind to the point where, to the limits of our own personal intellectual limitations, we should be able to understand infinity. That's a separate mitzvah in the Torah, and it says so clearly in the Chumash. It says, Da es Elokei Avicha, you should know the God of your fathers. Expand your mind to the, it's like a person who goes to the gym. When the first day you go to the gym, you can lift 5 pounds. Next day, you can lift 10 pounds. Eventually, you can lift, I don't know, a few hundred pounds. So what happened? You worked on your ability to lift weights. You worked on your ability to run. You worked on your ability that you could walk a mile, then you can walk 5 miles, 10 miles. You can jog, you can run, this and that. What happened? You worked on yourself. And the Torah tells us that it's a mitzvah for us to expand our minds, to expand our not just minds, but our sensitivity to spirituality. And we see this clearly from ourselves, and we see this from our children, we see this from our friends. When people are, you can compare it to music, you can compare it to art. You might walk into music class the first day or art class the first day, and everything looks nice, you know, or it sounds good, but it's a mishkababble, it's all mixed up. And eventually, through practice, you begin to appreciate, you begin to think. And the same is true of fine cooking, understanding the flavors in the food and so on. So we have the ability as physical people to expand our sensitivity to physical beauty. And we also have the ability to expand our sensitivity to spiritual reality. And this is what studying Tanya is all about. It's a methodology. Go literally going to the gym, going and with the best, the most amazing coach. Well, that's what it is. So you open up the Zohar, you don't understand what's happening, but you read the Alter Rebbe's explanation of the Zohar, and all of a sudden your mind begins to grow, your sensitivity begins to develop, and you all of a sudden you look at the world differently. You become a different person. In fact, not that you are not the same person you were before. But before your eyes were shut, before your sensitivity was blocked, you didn't get the things that were happening around you. And then you begin to become, in the language of the Alter Rebbe, you begin to become a person who has appreciation for spirituality. Plain and simple. So this is what it's all about. So Alter Rebbe is explaining here, again, these two levels of energy that Hashem puts into the world. The higher level of energy, which the Alter Rebbe is soon going to say, is this Sovev energy, the energy that is infinite. Even though it's infinite, the Hashem, because Hashem himself is infinite and can do anything, even though it doesn't make any logical sense, how can you shove something that's infinite into a finite creation? If you think about it for even a fraction of a second, how can you put 5 pounds worth of flour into a cup that can only hold 1 cup of flour? It doesn't work. How could you put 100 gallons of water into a teaspoon? It doesn't work. So in the physical world, a larger quantity than can be held in the container cannot go in. That's because the physical world has limitation. But Hashem has no limitation. So Hashem can put infinity into finite, plain and simple. And once we wrap our head around that concept, that infinity can go into finite, and you think about that for a second, and you begin to realize, I have no clue what that even means, then you begin to understand what it means. Sovev Kol Almin, the concept of Hashem's infinite energy, we don't have direct ability to interact with that energy. So therefore, what Hashem does, because Hashem does want us to be powered, is puts another type of energy, and that energy is called the Mamali Edge. Let's just finish over here a little bit. The principle light that is without contraction to such an extent that it's makif and sovev and circles, and its influence is not revealed within the worlds. The worlds are finite. The worlds are limited. The Alter Rebbe is going to illustrate this from the following thing. The following mashal, the following parable. It says Or Ein Sof has to fill the world. Because how does it know it has to fill the world? Because plain and simple, the Torah tells us our North Star, our guide to what's real and what's not real is the Torah. Without the Torah, we don't know what reality is. We think we're living like the Matrix. We could think we're living in illusion, world of illusion. A person who is a crazy person, who is in an insane asylum, thinks that reality is a certain thing. We take a look at that person and we say, you're wrong. Maybe we're all insane. Maybe we don't know what reality is. So we need to look to the Torah to be able to understand reality. In the Torah, it says that Hashem fills heaven and earth, and therefore it must be. That must be. Nevertheless, only a very limited vitality of no more than the category of what is revealed in the animate vegetable worlds is clothed within the world, in the form of revealed influence. So we have these two types of energy that Hashem uses in order to create our world. One type of energy is called the Sovev energy, the unlimited energy, which is put into the world, and the world cannot take it because the world is finite. So how does Hashem make finite world? What energy goes into the world? The answer is there's another level of energy, which is literally called the Mimale energy. Mimale means it fills up and it actually enters into the world.
I apologize. And how
Yes.
do you spell that second energy in the finite energy? The
Mim
limited?
Malik,
Is
M-I-M.
it in a book?
It is in the book. It is in the book. But I don't think the Alter Rebbe has that term right
Can
here
you spell it, please?
in this chapter. Mimali is Mimalay. Mimalay.
I guess just
Or
so that I can write it
L-E.
down. Thank you.
Mimale. Mimale. Mimale is a Hebrew word that means it fills up. It fills up. And that's the way the Zohar uses the concept of energy that actually is according to the level. So let's now, I'm gonna stop over here in the Tanya, and we will continue these concepts because they are very, very fundamental concepts, and we will continue explaining them using the different Mishal and the different parables that Chassidus does give, Alter Rebbe teaches us. But I just want to spend a moment and talk about what does this have to do with us now before Rosh Hashanah. So now that we understand this idea that Hashem has infinite energy, which is called again the Soviv energy, and that energy, even though it's infinite, is creating the world. But then Hashem wants the world to have actual life, actual electricity running the thing. So that electricity that actually goes in is Mimale. It's the energy that is contracted. And that's another important concept to understand, which we'll talk about, that that same energy has to go through some process in order to make it now limited, right? So it has to go through a process of contraction called Tzimtzum. The language of the Kabbalists, Tzimtzum, just a Hebrew word that means to be contracted, and it changes by passing through filters. So now it becomes limited type of energy. That energy is what's actually in the world. So if you know that there is limited energy in the world already, but then there's this infinite pool of energy just at your fingertips, but it's not in. So what is a smart businessman who says, I have $100 in my pocket, I have $1 million, I have $100 million in my pocket? Well, a smart businessman, I'm not happy with what I have in my pocket. I want double, triple, 100 times, especially unlimited. So the goal, therefore, of our Torah and study and our mitzvah observance is to bring the Sovev energy into the world. And that happens by elevating the world, refining the world, so the world, the limitation that we're in, should become able to take the unlimited. And so number one, we elevate, we go up closer. And again, it's not in distance, but it's in quality. We become refined ourselves in our space. And number two, we draw down the Sovev energy. So the two meet in the middle. So Torah and mitzvahs, the point of doing Torah and mitzvahs is to elevate our physical space in order to be able to accept yet more of the Sovev energy. And in fact, that's the mission that Hashem gives us. The mission Hashem wants from us is that we should prepare the world for the coming of Mashiach. Again, what does it mean, the coming of Mashiach? The coming of Mashiach means the time when contraction and infinity will no longer be at odds with each other. You won't have to have finite to exist. You'll be able to be a finite creature existing straight from infinity. Blows the mind. Makes no sense when you say the words. If you're a finite creature, how could you have infinity? But that's what it means, the coming of Mashiach. That's what it means. That's the whole goal. From the beginning of creation, this goal was a task that Hashem gave Adam, and then Adam failed with it. Hashem gave every generation until our generation. Our generation is going to fulfill the task because we, not that we're so great, we know our limitations, but we are building on the accomplishments of every previous generation. So finally, we're at the top of the food chain. And we are right up there at the top of the coconut tree. We're right next to the coconuts and we'll be able to bring them down. So that's what happens. And we are the generation to bring Mashiach. We're the generation going to elevate finally the last act in the words of Rambam. One mitzvah might be all it takes to be able to bridge finally that gap, to fill and make that preparation actually happen. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, the old energy, every Rosh Hashanah, the old energy that Hashem puts into the world is removed. And Hashem puts new energy into the world every Rosh Hashanah. The new energy that Hashem puts into the world is of a higher quality. And again, the reason is because we are higher. The world is higher. The world is more refined. We have come closer to the task of filling up our space to the point where the limited space can now reach the unlimited space. So picture to yourself, person who is stuck at the bottom of a pit and every day takes one bit of sand, somebody throws down one bit of sand from outside the pit. Eventually, after who knows how much time, grain of sand, you're no longer at the bottom of the pit. Now the pit is full of sand. And now you're at the top of the pit. Now you're going to be walking out pretty soon. So this is one little mitzvah. One little mitzvah will finally fill up the limited capacity that the world was created. And that mitzvah might be the mitzvah that will then allow the infinite to flood in. And that is happens every Rosh Hashanah. So every Rosh Hashanah, we get closer to Mashiach coming, not only because of a timeline, because of, let's say Hashem decides Mashiach will come a certain time. So as the years march by, the time is coming closer to die. Time is coming closer to get married. The time is coming closer to retire. Not only because of that. The reason that we're coming closer to Mashiach is because every year we have more energy, each Rosh Hashanah. We have more ability to fulfill the task that Hashem set for us, human beings. We become that generation that has access to powers that no previous generation ever had, even ourselves last year. So this year, coming Rosh Hashanah in a few days, that's what Chassidus teaches, or to the Zohar, Kabbalah teaches, that Hashem gives new energy of a greater and a deeper and a more powerful kind every Rosh Hashanah, because the world, the energy flow simply is increasing and marching on and marching on. And therefore, as we come close to Rosh Hashanah, we should realize that. And we should tell ourselves that things that we thought were impossible spiritually for us to accomplish last year, this year we can do them. We actually have more firepower. We actually have more lift power. We have more energy. We have more ability. So therefore, this Rosh Hashanah is amazing. Don't be afraid to take on yourself all kinds of different stuff that you never thought you'd be able to do. This is the time. The time is now and the place is here. So we are few days away from Rosh Hashanah, and I want to wish each of you and all of us together a wonderful and a good, sweet new year. If we don't speak before Rosh Hashanah, we should have Mashiach coming before Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll get all the unlimited soviv energy, and then Hashem's plan. Look, we tell Hashem, you have this plan, you want it to happen, you could make it happen, so make it happen. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for us. So, it's not, Hashem can make it happen. And we have already, and the Rebbe has proclaimed so many times that we've already done all the stuff that we need to do. In the language of the previous Rebbe, Rebbe's father-in-law used to say that all that's left is to polish off the buttons on the uniform. So you have soldiers that are on standing there and the general is passing by in order to inspect them. So they've made their bunks and they finished their this and they did it. The last thing, they have to polish the brass buttons on the uniform. The Rebbe said, we've been polishing the buttons for such a long time that if we keep on polishing the buttons are going to get all polished out. We're going to take off the finish on the buttons. We're going to get rid of that. Enough with polishing the buttons. Zu putz in the Kneplach in Yiddish. Genug zu putz in the Kneplach. It's enough to polish the buttons. we have already accomplished. So ksiva vachasima tova lishana tova u mesuka, good, sweet new year.